When he took over as Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull promised to increase innovation and entrepreneurship in Australia to help the economy grow beyond the resources boom. Well, his long-awaited innovation statement, to be released later today, will now aim to chart a course to this agile future. The $1 billion package of measures will reportedly include a capital gains tax holiday for investors in startups and a $100 million funding boost for the CSIRO. But one industry group says unless the corporate tax and innovation incentives landscape is dramatically overhauled, Australia will continue to lose the innovation race and Australian intellectual property will be lost overseas. John Polares is chairman of the Australian Advanced Manufacturing Council, whose members include Cochlear, Dow Chemical, CSL in Australia. He's speaking with our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell.
John Polares, good morning.
Good morning, Cheryl.
Now, your council has just released a report which compares the tax rates and innovation incentives of comparable countries. So where does Australia rank?
So currently we rate at around 10 out of the 12 most attractive countries in the world to invest in research and development.
So the innovation statement today is looking at looks set to include tax breaks for investors in startups, more funding for the CSIRO, better incentives for universities to commercialise their innovation. But your report also says that we need to do more than that. In fact, that we need deep cuts to the 30% corporate tax rate for companies engaging in intellectual property development. Now, how would that improve our ranking? Why would that make a difference?
Well, what's important to consider, Cheryl, is that in the global rankings, while we rate high on research, we rate very poorly. In fact, 116th out of 142 countries for the commercialization of that research. So what we're saying is if we're going to be globally competitive in innovation, and it is a global game, then we need to make sure that we have the incentives to attract and retain the very best IP, intellectual property in Australia.
But can you make a country more innovative and agile just by cutting the corporate tax rate? I mean, there'll always be other countries with lower tax rates, surely.
Well, in fact, we have a thriving advanced manufacturing sector in Australia. There's about 2,500 companies doing very well and competing on the global stage. The problem we're facing is a lot of IP is leaving the country. And in fact, just recently we saw the British government trying to attract fintech companies to the UK. So what we're saying is that if we want to encourage that commercialisation and then importantly that commercialisation results in manufacturing and jobs, then some incentive is required. And at the moment, we are competing against every other country when it comes to attracting that kind of intellectual property.
Indeed, you're saying that the corporate tax rate should be cut from 30% to 10% for companies generating profits for intellectual property. I mean, that's a rather big reduction. I mean, what are you saying? That would put us ahead of the pack in terms of financial competitiveness if we do that?
Yes, a tax rate on intellectual property and the commercialisation of 10% would put us into the number one position. There's three areas of tax that are really important to consider in intellectual property. The first is the incentive for developing it and retaining it. Secondly is the ability to write off over time your IP so that, a bit like capital equipment, you can then continue to reinvest in it. And then there's R&D tax credits, which encourage small to medium enterprise businesses to continue to innovate. We're good at the third, but by international comparison, we're lacking policy solutions in those first two vital areas.
Yet there is still a bill actually before the Parliament that was put there by the former Abbott government that would actually cut tax breaks for companies investing in R&D. I mean, we're meant to be heading towards a more innovative economy. Are we getting mixed messages here, do you think, from the government, if that bill is still there?
Yeah, well, I think so. I think that was a retrograde step, and it certainly isn't consistent with the new Prime Minister and the party's direction on innovation. We would certainly want to see that put to an end. It just simply doesn't make sense to be talking about innovation and cutting back on the incentives to research and development.
Now, your council represents companies, as you say, engaged in advanced, high-end, technologically driven manufacturing. But given the decline of manufacturing in this country, I mean, some cynics might say that we could probably count the numbers of advanced Australian manufacturers on one hand. I mean, how well is Australia doing in this area? Is it worth looking at incentives for this sector?
Yeah, I think there's no question that manufacturing has needed an image makeover, but we are really talking about the neonatal end of manufacturing, not the palliative care end. There are 10,000 companies in Australia who are capable of export, and there are 2,500 that are advanced manufacturers who are competing successfully and in many cases are world leaders in their industry areas. So it is a thriving sector. It just hasn't been getting the attention that hopefully now it will get. But there are many companies in Australia that are competing, doing very well.
Can you give us an example of a company, you know, at the cutting edge in manufacturing right now?
Yes, of course. There's, as I say, you know, they operate across aerospace, mining equipment, oil and gas infrastructure. But a couple, Anatomics, who produce anatomical structures for surgeons all over the world. We've got Marand Precision Engineering, which is involved in very high-end, very high-quality, very tight spec product. Cochlear Implants, a world leader in hearing space. CSL, a world leader in blood products. Textor Technologies, a world leader in absorbent textiles. So many companies in Australia that have worked with research institutes, particularly with CSIRO, to bring products to market that truly differentiate them. I mean, another point to make, I think, Cheryl, is that 70% of global trade is in intermediate goods and products, and 85% of global trade is through major multinational supply chains. So it's important that we also recognise the opportunity for small to medium enterprise, given the right incentives, to become part of those global supply chains. That opens up much bigger markets to Australia.
Can you quantify at all how much of the good ideas that are generated here, those that don't end up in businesses like that you said, that actually that business flows overseas?
Well, it's hard to find those statistics, and that's one of the great problems. And the reason we released the report is very rarely do we see in government the fact base being built around the decisions that are being taken. We know, for example, that over the last 10 years, we've attracted about 30 IP retaining businesses to Australia compared to the US that is well over nearly 400. So it's very difficult to get the fact base. All we do know is that in many instances, as soon as an idea pops up and it shows that it's got some global potential, it's drifting offshore. The initiatives today, particularly around accessing capital for startups and then the commercialisation of science and research, should go a long way to addressing that issue.
So, in your view, how important is this innovation statement from the government today, you know, in terms of boosting, you know, the sectors that you're involved in? I mean, the statement seems to be focused on improving the tax regime for startups. Are you hoping that it will offer something for established businesses? I mean, I suspect it won't offer a big tax reduction to 10% for intellectual property companies, but what do you hope is there?
Well, I'm hoping that if it doesn't address that issue, then the idea of a patent box or IP incentive does get addressed over time. I would see this as the start of a series of policy developments in Australia. There's no way the government, after 12 weeks, can announce an innovation and science statement and then it's all done and it's all finished. I think it's really got to be regarded as the beginning. It's taken so long to get to this point. You know, it is going to need to be a continuous focus. I therefore think, as we see the Productivity Commission review that's currently being done onto intellectual property, it's an opportunity there to readdress it. The tax review that we believe, you know, is going to come with the next government is going to be a very important occasion to then have a look. So I think the track record here is what's going to be important. Does the government open these issues and then continue to work on the execution and development, or are we going to see one statement and that's it? I very much hope that this is the start of a very productive journey for Australian innovation.
John Pelez, thanks for your time.
Thanks very much, Cheryl.
And John Pelez, the chairman of the Australian Advanced Manufacturing Council.